Matthew 27. I want to read from all the Gospels, a little from some, a little more from the others. The subject these Lord's Day mornings will be the account of the resurrection of our Savior. We're trying to find out how to understand this resurrection. I'm reading from the 1901 version. Matthew 27, look at verse 55. As our Savior is being crucified, it says, "And many women were there, beholding from afar, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee." And now in chapter 28, "Now late on the Sabbath day, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was as lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the watchers did quake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who hath been crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, even as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly, and tell his disciples, He is risen from the dead, and lo, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then saith Jesus unto them, Fear not. Go tell my brethren that they depart into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now Mark 16. Verse 1, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they come to the tomb when the sun was risen, and they were saying among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the tomb? And looking up, they see that the stone is rolled back, for it was exceeding great. And entering into the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, arrayed in a white robe, and they were amazed." And now Luke chapter 24, look at one verse, please, in chapter 23. It says, verse 49, "And all his acquaintance and the women that followed with him from Galilee stood afar off, seeing these things." Now, verse 1 of chapter 24. "But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came unto the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, while they were perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel." And now John chapter 20. Verse 1. "Now on the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, while it was yet dark, unto the tomb, and seeth the stone taken away from the tomb. She runneth therefore, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They had taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we know not where they had laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciples, and they went toward the tomb, and they run toward the tomb, and so forth. And verse 11, But Mary was standing without at the tomb, weeping. So, as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she beholded two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back, and beholdeth Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turneth herself, and saith unto him in Hebrew, Rabboni, that is to say, Teacher. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto the Father, but go unto my brethren, and say to them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene cometh, and telleth the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things unto her. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, of all things that thou couldst tell the brokenhearted, the hopeless, the despondent, the words that we have read this morning are the most comforting. We are thankful that we read of the death of thy Son, because how could we be saved had he not died? But our Father, to read of the resurrection of thy Son, how could we be saved unless he who had died for our sins had been raised again for our justification? We thank thee for the full account of the life, the death, the resurrection of thy Son. And now we desire to think about it somewhat in detail. And because of this, we will need the help of thy Spirit. We remember that Paul said that he was not sufficient of himself, but God supplied sufficiency. And we remember he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And so we look to thee for that kind of strength and the work of thy Spirit in the hearts of all who are here, and cleansing from sin and impurity, that we might be worthy to speak the name of thy Son and to hear the things said about him. Undertake for us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Some of the teachers that I had when I went to school in Canada were easygoing teachers. The lessons they gave were not hard. They gave few or no assignments. And the examinations they gave, they weren't difficult. Some of them were harder. And there was one that I shall never forget, who was the hardest, who was the meanest, and who, when we had an opportunity, there came a day when, if you have any complaints or suggestions about your professors, please submit them. And we did, telling about how mean and how hard and contrary this special teacher was. He gave us the hardest lessons, the hardest assignments, the most homework, and he was the one that we disliked the most. But of course, I have to confess that the one who taught the most was this professor. He was the one. Now, so many people would like those who teach to come along and be easygoing, not make you think, not give you any homework, no assignments. All you have to do is to come and sit and be spoken to. Well, if a person like that comes, I venture to say that you will be like the other professors that we had. You won't remember very much. It's pleasant going there, pleasant going to a class when you don't have to think. You're never embarrassed, never asked things that you don't know. Why, that's a delightful class to go to. But there should be a difference. You see, you are made by the authorities to go to public school, but you're not made to go to college. And if you go to college, you have to pay, and since you are paying, it is expected that you would apply yourself. Well, if you're unsaved, yes, you might want someone to not arouse you or upset you, but after you're saved, isn't your purpose to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? You say yes. Well, now you're in college and you're paying for it, and so you're supposed to appreciate the ones that make it hardest for you, because they are the ones that will give you that which abides, and later on in life, you will think back. And even though you did not want to think, you had to think, and you will remember the foundational things that they told you. Now, I could have read from one of the Gospels this morning and told you pleasant devotional things, given you a spiritual address, and you could have been uplifted and gone away. And yet, if you were challenged to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you, you wouldn't be able to tell them one thing. If I asked you this, how many women were there that went to the tomb of Jesus? Now, I read you from all four accounts, but if it meant your life, I doubt if you could tell me how many there were. How many angels were there? How many appearances were there to the women? You say, is it important? If we believe that every jot and tittle is inspired, it's important, and God expects that of you. And not only so, but unless you grasp these things now and understand them, later on, the enemy will come to you as the enemy came in the garden, and he will say, "Hath God said?" And you never realize that in one account, one angel is spoken of, and in another account, more angels than one is spoken about. And you'll not realize that in one gospel, only one woman is spoken about, but in another gospel, at least five women are spoken about. And they will say, "Do you see the Bible is filled with contradictions?" And so it will unsettle you and destroy you. And I've seen some who are not prepared to meet the challenge. And so they say, "Well, I'm just taking it by faith." God does not want you to take by faith what you can have by sight. Some things are essential. But if he has placed them in his word, the exhortation is this: go search the scriptures. Go learn what this meaneth. And if you do not, then you deserve to go through life unsure. When people challenge you and tell you that the Bible is filled with contradictions, you can put no trust in it. And you say, "Well, I don't know how to do it, but I believe that that's the word of God." I say that you will have no stability as you go through life. But if you read the scriptures, there are very, very few things that you're not able to give an adequate answer that is intellectually acceptable to anyone who wants to know the truth. If a person does not want to know the truth, if you tell him the truth, if you give him God's explanation, it will be rejected. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but at least tell him God's way of salvation, and then he must receive or reject it. And in like manner, what I want to tell you about the resurrection accounts of the Lord Jesus Christ, you may not want to accept them, but I tell you that they are acceptable and there are no contradictions, and so I will tell you about them this morning. And while telling you about this, I must show you the way that God's word must be approached to understand. If I ask you about blind Bartimaeus, most of you would say, "I've heard of blind Bartimaeus." Well, you find about him in Matthew and Mark. But if you read about him in Matthew, you won't find his name. And you'll find that he was with another blind man. The only thing that you know about blind Bartimaeus is what you find in the Gospel of Mark. You say, "Well, is his companion mentioned in the Gospel of Mark?" No, just blind Bartimaeus is mentioned. You say, "Well, what does that mean?" It means this, as the principle of interpretation, that God knows that at times more than one are dealt with, but if the Spirit of God sees fit to take out the prominent one that is dealt with and not even mention the other one and just tell you about blind Bartimaeus as he does in the Gospel of Mark, you say that is the way the life of Christ is recorded, and you have to accept it that way. you can find this, that Pilate did not ask the Lord Jesus one time, but two times concerning his person. John gives them both, but if you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you will not find that he asked but one time. And since John gave them both, it is not a contradiction, but God sees fit just to tell us one of the questions in Matthew or Mark or Luke, and both of the questions in John. And God has shown us that the fullness of the life of Christ is never given us in its fullness. John's gospel tells us specifically that his treatment is partial. He says, I know what he did. He said, but my treatment is partial. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Do you understand? John said, I am his disciple. He did many other signs. They are not written in this book. He said, but I have chosen certain ones, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. He said, my treatment is selected, and it is of purpose that you might be saved. And in like manner, Matthew has his purpose, and Mark and Luke, as well as John, and they do not tell us specifically, as John does, perhaps Luke does in the introduction, but as specifically as John does, but you have to go to the gospel and read it and see how he deals with the subject. And if you take the information that Matthew and Mark give and compare them, then you understand. So this is it. There were two who were blind, and the Lord opened the eyes of them both, but Mark has only seen fit to tell of one. It does not mean that he does not know of the two. He simply chooses to tell of the one. That is how you approach the Word of God. You are never going to know unless you read all four accounts. God could have given one account instead of four accounts. He gave four. And so, if you want your mind to be at ease, just read one gospel and never worry about the rest, and you'll never have to worry about anything that apparently is contradictory. But then if you read all four, you see it's difficult, but after a while, you see how the Spirit of God goes about dealing with things. And when one of the two is left out and only Bartimaeus is spoken about, it's not a contradiction. It is the way that Mark wants to tell us the account. And so you accept it that way and you learn how to find things from God's Word the way that God wants you to learn from His Word. Again, let me ask you, concerning the desire of James and John to sit on the right hand and the left hand of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that the mother of James and John went and asked the Lord Jesus for this. Do you realize that you'll never find it in the Gospel of Mark? But you have to go to the Gospel of Matthew, and he tells us that Salome, and how do you know that I know her name was Salome? Perhaps I'll tell you later on, that Salome went and asked for her son. But Mark does not tell us that. He does not even mention the mother, but he says that James and John came and asked. And so you learn this. Well then, when two sons have their mother to ask, these sons are asking through their mother. And so, though Mark does not tell us who does the asking, still they ask. Matthew says they ask through their mother. And if you say, well, I don't like that at all. No, I don't like it either. I wish that it had all been put in one gospel. But God says this is the way that you must find it out. Now, in like manner, how many women went to the tomb? I ask you. If you read John's gospel, you would say one woman went to the tomb, Mary Magdalene. If you read Matthew's account, you would say two went to the tomb, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and I know who the other Mary was because by reading the account, you say Mary, the mother of James the Less and Joseph. At times, she's simply spoken of as Mary, the mother of James. And so if you read Matthew, you say, well, there were two women. If you read Mark's account, you find out that there were three. There was Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, which is Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and then it says another one, Salome. And then if you read Luke's account, you'll find another woman named who was Joanna. And then if you read earlier in Luke's gospel, you'll find that Susanna was also there. And so no less than five women came whose names we have. And it says, and the other women that came up from Galilee that ministered unto him. And so I know that at least five were there. And if you read John's Gospel, you would know nothing about anyone coming to the tomb other than Mary, except for this clue. When she goes and sees the stone rolled away, she runs to Peter and John and she says, "They have taken away the Lord, and we know not where they have laid him." The clue is there. She does not say, "I know not where." She is telling us there that she went with others, but John alone tells us that Mary Magdalene came to the tomb. The others group them all together in twos, in threes, in fives, and you say, well, what do? You have to read each gospel separately and then compare the whole, and then you understand that no less than five came, more, because other women as well. But of these, John wants to tell you about Mary Magdalene. You say, well, I want to know about the others. Well, go over and read from Matthew if you want to read about Mary and the other Mary. And if you want to read about Salome and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, then go and read from the Gospel of Mark. But you read them all and you understand that John knows the way that Matthew knows. But he says the most prominent woman was Mary Magdalene. And I'm going to tell you about her. I'm not even going to tell you about the others, except incidentally in the way that she says, we know not where they have laid him. And so you say, that's the way. You have to go to the Word of God and interpret it. That is the only way that you can do it. You do not interpret it the way that you choose and say, now this is the way a biography should be written, and therefore if it's not written this way, it's wrong. Why, who made you an authority as to how a biography of the Son of God should be written? God says, this is the way it's to be written. And if you want to understand it, and you have an open mind, you will say, this is the way God has written it. It's like this. You may want to read from left to right, as in English. But if you read Hebrew, you will go insane trying to read from left to right, because it reads from right to left. And if you go to it, you simply have to stop looking this way and that way, and you have to start looking this way and that way. And there is no easy road to understand it. You have to do it that way. But just rejoice that I have given you the clue, and now when you go to God's Word, say, what I've read in one gospel is not the full account. I must read them all and compare them if I'm going to know how to harmonize these things. And God has given ever so much information, and I must piece it together, enabled by the Spirit, or else I will never understand. And that is true. And for that reason, I told you about the angels. If you read in Matthew and Mark, you read about one angel. If you read in Luke and John, you read about two angels. And so there were at least two, but Matthew and Mark only choose to tell us about one. And I could go on and on and on telling you this, but since I've shown you, and it's the way that you have to approach God's Word, now you know. And you will hesitate if you're only familiar with one gospel, speaking with finality and authority until you've read all the Gospels, and then you see how God has set before us the truth in its entirety as he sees fit to give it. All right, I've talked to you a little bit about the angel and the angels, and the woman and the women, and the man and the men. You say, why? Because the woman is Mary Magdalene, and the women are the others I told you about. And the man, in Luke's gospel, only Peter ran to the tomb. But the man are Peter and John, because John tells us about them both running. And the angel in Matthew and Mark, and the angels because Luke and John tell us it more. And so, you may take it up any way you please, but I've given you the whole story, and now I'll tell you a little bit about it. A little bit about angels. The way that God uses them, God being omnipotent and God being omniscient, he needs the assistance of none. But he has committed unto men the ministry of reconciliation, and he has given to angels certain responsibilities, and one of them is that of being a messenger. In fact, the word angelo and angelos, it means to announce, to speak, to give a message. And so these are God's messengers. And they excel at this. When the Lord Jesus was to be born, God sent angelic messengers. That is almost redundant. He sent angels, his servants. He sent messengers, and they told the shepherds they made the announcement. And in like manner, when the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, again, the angels who announced his birth also announced his resurrection. And in Matthew, it is delightful to see how these angels carry out the will of God. For this reason, you see in the Gospels the efforts of men, to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to prove him a liar and a deceiver. And so they say, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive that after 3 days he was going to rise again. This is what you have to do. Put a watch at the tomb and guard it until the third day, lest his disciples come and steal him away and say, he's raised from the dead. And so Pilate said, go make it as sure as you can. And so here is man, and no doubt in love, Joseph of Arimathea had that great stone placed upon the tomb so no one could disturb the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pilate sends his soldiers to secure that tomb. And now you see the efforts of men to overcome the work of God. And when God sends an angel to do his bidding, all of the obstacles that men set in the way of God's will being done prove to be child's play. Here is this massive stone, and here are these Roman guards. And I have to laugh when I read it. It says, an angel came down from heaven, and there was an earthquake, and he rolled away the stone, and he sat on the stone, just laughing at all of these obstacles men would put in the way, as if somebody could keep Jesus in that tomb, and as if these Roman soldiers could keep the angel of God from heaven from opening that tomb and admitting the Lord Jesus to come out, even though he needed not that stone removed to come out. But the people would have to know. The removal of the stone is for the people, as a voice that came from heaven. The Lord Jesus said, it did not come for my sake, but for yours. The Lord Jesus needed not the stone rolled away, but the disciples would never have understood unless it were. And so the angel comes and rolls the stone away, and he sits on the stone. And I want all of you who are unsaved to remember this. There are some who have their bodies entombed in concrete, saying, God will never get at me at the last day. And some have themselves cremated in their ashes, are taken and spread over the earth, and they say, God will never get at me in that day. But you will find that just as that angel came, and he rolled away that stone and sat on it, all the obstacles that you have put in God's way to prevent his judging you will be removed as easily as that angel removed the stone. And remember, he sits upon that stone, and he defies you, and he laughs at you, because there's no way that you can escape God. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And so it says in the book of Revelation, it says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And so all of these provisions that men had made, all of the obstacles that they had put in the way for God not to be able to judge them, are there removed. And now, embodied once again, they stand before the great white throne, and the books are opened. God has his angels that can do anything he chooses, and the Lord Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He said, the hour cometh when the dead that are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth. It says, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. And so you're going to come forth. The Lord Jesus shall speak the word, and the dead shall rise. And if there are any material things to do, like remove a stone to get to your body, why, God could send an angel and do it. And so remember this. And something else is suggestive about the angels. It's so delightful. Do you realize that these Roman soldiers are called watchers? In the book of Daniel, it says that angelic beings are called watchers. And so these Roman soldiers are there watching Jesus. And the watchers are there watching the watchers. As if man could do anything to that body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that when Mary looked in, she saw an angel at the head and at the foot of where the body of the Lord Jesus had lain. And if anyone had tried to harm that body, Why, it says in the Old Testament that one angel destroyed 185,000 soldiers. And think what would be done if anyone tried to disturb the body of the Lord Jesus. And now Mary looks in, and the angels are at ease. They're sitting at the head and at the foot of where the body of the Lord Jesus had lain, because he's not there anymore to be guarded. But they had been there. And so the watchers were being watched, because God has his watchers. And right now, we are not aware of it. But one of the reasons that you women should be covered, it says, for this cause ought a woman to have authority on her head, because of the angels. And the angels are watching Nebuchadnezzar, who has all of his armies watching over his strongholds in the world. But then his watchers and he himself are being watched by the watchers. And so man has his, and they are unsuccessful. But God has his, and nothing happened to the body of the Lord Jesus, because it was being watched over by his angels. And God tells us this, that in the book of Hebrews, they are ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the heirs of salvation. And the reason that at the tomb, one was seen, two were seen, and when James and John, Peter and John were there, none were seen, is because they appeared and are invisible at will. That's the reason. I have no doubt that they were very well, they might well be in that tomb when Peter and John were looking in the tomb. I have no doubt this morning that they're angels here. It says that they are those who watch over us, the heirs of salvation. It says that women are to be covered because of the angels. And it says in Ephesians chapter 3, that under the principalities and powers might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God. And so angels are watching. Had they so desired, they could appear, but if they desire, they remain invisible. And so when Mary and the women were there, they either appeared or remained invisible as they chose. As another thing, when they do appear unto man, they appear in the form of man. This is what we learn from a comparison. There were two young men in white raiment, and yet John interprets it for us and says, these men were angels. Angels in angelic, in the forms of men. Men who in reality were angels. They have to assume some form, and so this is the way they appeared. If you saw them elsewhere as they were, you would see them with their wings. You can read about the way that they are. This may be a figurative description of them. God knows. But they appear when they choose and how they choose, depending on the nature of the service that they have to do to God. But speaking of service, I want to mention this concerning the women. I've been trying for 2 weeks now, and I can tell you a little bit about them. It says that these women were they who had ministered to the Lord Jesus in Galilee. And they had followed him through Galilee and Samaria, and now they're in Judea, in Jerusalem, and they're still at the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. The indispensable women, this garment that the Lord Jesus was wearing without a seam, I have no doubt that a woman wove it for him. They fed the Lord Jesus, they attended upon his needs, and also they helped out his disciples. And it's the same way with you, dear sisters, who so often, when a servant of the Lord comes, they entertain you, they open their home, they feed you, they show you kindnesses. There were mothers and women then, and there are mothers and women now who are to do the same thing, hospitality without grudging. I know this, that if some of us went to homes and had to have the husbands to prepare food for us and wait on us, we would perish. And so thank God for the women that follow the servants of the Lord and minister unto them. But let me tell you this. There are three qualities that abide. Faith, hope, and love. But faith and hope were not in these women, but love was. For the simple reason, if you get ointment and spices to anoint a dead body, you're not expecting him to rise from the dead. But at least you are showing your love and devotion to a man whom you had followed so long and so far during his lifetime. And so now they come to pay their last respects. They have no hope, because the only hope they would have is that as Martha said, I know my brother shall rise in the resurrection of the last day. That's the only hope. And as faith, they had none, but they had faithfulness. They were at the cross when he died, and now at the tomb, they are there first thing in the morning, and they are there to pay their respects. And so I say the qualities of faith and hope were missing, but love was there. And God rewards love even when the other two qualities are missing. And in a very few minutes, they who love the Lord have their faith and their hope rekindled, because the first message that Mary Magdalene took was, they've taken my Lord away and I know not where they've laid him. But now the second message is that Jesus is raised from the dead. She had love, and then the Lord Jesus appeared to her and said, Mary, and then she had faith, and she had hope, and she was able to share that with the others. And the other women had it as well. And remember this. It says that this Mary Magdalene is one out of whom the Lord cast seven demons. And I think of another woman in like manner in Luke 7 who loved. I know that Mary Magdalene loved the Lord. And it says concerning this woman who was in the city, a sinner. She loved the Lord. And this woman who had been in the city, a sinner, who loved the Lord, even though she had been that, when she ceased to be, the Lord did not despise her service and her devotion. It says that Simon did, but the Lord Jesus did not. And he said, she loved much. And in like manner, here is a woman who had been possessed by seven demons, but now they're exorcised. And the Lord Jesus will accept the ministry of this woman who had been satanically influenced. And so think of this, all of you who may say, well, I'm not worthy to mention the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm not worthy to serve him. Well, have you had any more than seven demons in you? Have you been any more than a sinner in the city? You say, no. The lowest of sinners and under the dominion of Satan. And yet when the Lord Jesus comes and seats and clothes and puts you in your right mind, then he accepts you and makes you acceptable in his sight. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And then a catalog of gross sinners is mentioned. And it says, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are justified, but you are sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what you were is one thing, but once the Lord Jesus Christ comes and cleanses you by his precious blood and makes you fit for his service, he accepts that service. And perhaps the failure, the great failure in the past, will inspire you to love him more. This is what the Lord Jesus said. He who has been forgiven little will love little. He who has been forgiven much will love much. And so this is a little bit about angels and men and women in the resurrection appearances of our Lord. The time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that thou hast told us without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Our Father, we have found that it's so with the truth as well. Forgive us for ever thinking that there is such a thing as an error in the word of God. And let us say, our Father, it is sloth and laziness on my part. By thy Spirit, illumine and let me search the scriptures. The entrance of thy word giveth light, and so let us be honest, our Father, and in time thou shalt give us understanding of all things. And perhaps there are some who are here blinded by Satan, the god of this world. We pray that thou shalt shine into their hearts and show them in a saving way the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ the Lord. Show them that he is the resurrection and the life. He can give them spiritual life now, and he shall give them physical life as well in the day to come. Undertake for us and bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.